Welcome to The Podyssey, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the greatest little independent cinema on the planet, The Odyssey in St. Albans. This podcast is a partnership between The Odyssey Cinema and Mix 92.6 FM, Hertfordshire's local radio station. Thanks for joining us. Hello and welcome back. And I do mean welcome back. There's been a small break from us lot. Welcome back to the Podyssey. We are back in the studio, minus Sam, of course, who has left us for Pastures New. But we have the OGs. We have Nick here and we have Roberto here. Chaps, how are we?
Good. Glad to be back. Yeah, the seat next to me is empty. It's disheartening, but you know, we get back. Back on it, you know.
Well,
and doing proud.
You know, I thought we were carrying Sam in the last few episodes.
We're only joking,
Sam. We know you listen. We love you, really. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. I'm way into the heat. It's been dry as, but so we've got some nice air conditioning at work, so that really, really counts for something.
That's a real selling point for the cinema at the moment. Like, The Odyssey is air conditioned, folks. So if you are looking to get out of this heat for a little while, I feel like the heat wave, because it's dropped a couple of degrees, people are now pretending they quite like it. Like, oh, now it's a bit cooler, but that's just a lie because it's still unbelievably overbearingly hot.
I mean, it is a lie, but it also is a thing of like, oh, I'm sort of used to it now. Like, it doesn't mean that I like it. It just means that I'm used to it.
It is mad. Like, I know this is not a climate change podcast, but how quickly you acclimatise is nuts. You look at the temperature now, it's like, oh, it's only 31 degrees today. Like, business as usual.
Definitely.
Yeah, mad. But yeah, been good in the cinema, been busy, I imagine. We're going to be talking a bit about The Odyssey, the film, of course, this episode. You can't escape it. It's absolutely everywhere. I imagine that's the main story of you guys' world at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. I mean, we've talked about The Odyssey since March to begin, really.
And you've both seen it.
We have.
I've seen it twice.
Yeah, I'm really jealous. We're going to come to that in a minute, but that sounds so good. I want to quickly say something that I've been up to before we get onto that. In my household, so my boy Freddie turns 7 in about 2 weeks' time. We've just started going through the Star Wars films. And I have to say, they have proved a raging success.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is really good. I'm still quite surprised that the age, I don't know, like it plays well into it.
I know what you mean. It's a friend of ours who works with children. She happened to mention her own kid had seen it and he was like 7. Because I thought, it's a bit too much there. It's like Luke has his hand cut off and Darth Vader's But actually, when you watch them, there isn't really much. It's hinted at, but nothing bad really happens on screen.
It is like one of those. I feel like it's hard to. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not watching the stuff that's coming out that is like it. But like, it's like one of those things you used to get where there was like a nice safety blanket on like stuff that had a bit of edge or a bit of like you know dark undertones to it.
Yeah,
but it isn't going to like disturb anyone, and it's going to be
so true. Because I was kind of ready on the fast forward. The only bit we had to fast forward in about the first 5 films was the trash compactor bit in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
With the snakes and stuff.
Oh.
Fred didn't like that. But
that is a bit freaky.
But, you know, even when Obi-Wan Kenobi gets, you know, beaten by Darth Vader, Fred was a bit worried, but I said, well, you know, just keep watching because he'll be back even stronger.
So there's an excitement to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing there's more to come.
Swashbuckle is the word I use for that, especially the original trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's been great. It's been properly fun revisiting those with his. And I have to say that we're just on the older, newer lot now.
Oh, yeah.
Just watched Phantom Menace. Stands up. Ewan McGregor's a good Obi-Wan.
I think it does.
It does.
Revenge of the Sith is like one of the best of all of them, I think, to be honest.
Revenge of the Sith is very good. I think the first 2 prequels were like stumbling to get to Revenge of the Sith, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And we've watched them in the order they were made and brought out.
Good, yeah.
It feels like it matters because, as I was saying to Nick off air, Phantom Menace got some cool fights with Darth Maul, double his lightsabers, Fred was loving all that, a lot of Yoda. But there's a lot of 20-minute long discussions about trade routes and Senate votes. And it's a bit like watching Question Time or something. Like, So yeah. It's a big ask.
Is the interesting thing. Sometimes people go, oh, Star Wars doesn't need to get into like politics or anything. It's like, mate, that was George Lucas's original vision. He wanted it all to be about, like, so. You know, the nitty gritty.
The politics of the universe.
I have to say, in the least headline grabbing bit of news ever, the Star Wars films are pretty good.
They are. But you do have to remind yourself sometimes.
I wonder if anyone will agree.
Yeah.
But there you go. But right, anyway, let's not wally about because we have got much more important things to discuss. You pair have seen The Odyssey. I'm very jealous. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk a bit about The Odyssey and then a bit about Christopher Nolan and how he is single-handedly saving cinemas. We'll be back in 1 second. Hello and welcome back to the Podyssey, which is a podcast about the Odyssey, and we are now going to talk also about the Odyssey. So this is all confusing. The Podyssey, we're going to talk about the Odyssey, showing at the Odyssey. Right, we got that out of the way. Fellas, you've both seen it. I'm exceptionally jealous. Nobody could have missed this is out. Everybody's heard the amazing reviews. It's well on its way to making $1 billion already. It's hardly been out about 5 minutes. This is clearly a cinema-saving classic, and I really want to hear all about it. Roberto, you go first. Tell me about this film. What did you see?
Okay. Firstly, I'll preface this by saying I know, like, I'm not a Christopher Nolan hater, but I'm also not his, like, I won't praise everything he does unconditionally. I'll even say Oppenheimer. I liked it, but tad overrated for me. So obviously going into this, a lot of hype. This is not a credential. I studied classics in GCSE, not very well, but I did it. So I was like, had a bit of knowledge about going into this. I was kind of like, what's he going to do? Is he going to make it like too grounded?
So you were aware of the, I guess it is the original, the actual text.
Yeah, I'm fairly like, you know, I know the broad strokes of the original story and kind of how it goes about, and like the background as well with the Iliad. So started watching this, and you know, I don't know if I was in a bad mood that day, but when it started I was like, oh man, you know, long film, am I really ready for this?
How long is it, by the way?
It's 2 hours 50, probably like more 2 hours 45. Yeah, okay. So it's actually not as long as you might think. But you know, I started watching it and just slowly but surely begun to get pretty enthralled in this adaptation and this like interpretation of ancient Greece, which, you know, obviously there's been a lot in the news about like all the actors and like, oh, they're not actually speaking Greek, but I think you can park that pretty easily once you start watching, because this is really, I think a lot of people saying this is kind of a really refreshing, it's really refreshing to see like another epic on screen, you know, with like, you know, monsters and battles and kind of a massive journey that kind of takes you through many cycles of human emotion. I have to say I was very impressed with this. I really enjoyed myself, and yeah, I could kind of see myself watching this back in the day and just getting like sucked up in it and just so yeah, it kind of took me back to better times, I'll say that.
Well, he's been quite open, hasn't he, Chris Nolan, who we're going to discuss in a minute, about some of the influences. So, you know, the Harry Rayhausen, you know, the the Jason the Argonauts things. He's kind of openly said he's trying to make a modern version of that kind of thing.
And you do get that even in just some of the special effects. Like, it's not all, I mean, everyone knows Nolan doesn't really go in for like massive CGI, but like, I was really impressed with how uncanny some of the stuff you see in this film is. I think you agreed on that, Nick.
Nick, what did you make of it?
I've seen it twice. Both times I didn't really feel the running time of it. I would say that you don't really, because you're like
that's a really good it's a really good sign, that, isn't it? It's like Wolf of Wall Street or something. Like, you can just sit
there. I think it's like minute one you sort of want to get to know about the dialogue and the characters and even just how they're going to structure such a big epic, like the scope of it. And you just sort of never have to worry about any of that because you're just into it from the get-go. And even towards the end, where you sometimes could feel like, oh, when's the end coming up? You never really want to question that. And then it just, boom. I really, really loved it. I thought the acting from every single person was A1.
I was going to say, because the cast is obviously amazing. Everybody
yeah.
good?
Yeah, everybody. I mean, I don't think anyone has really a bad shot. Even crewmen and soldiers, some soldiers who have small lines, really put, you can tell they've put their all into it. And I think that's because of the process anyway of it being such a, like a, not grueling, but it's not like an authentic production where, as you're saying, there's not much, even if there are special effects, there are some that are just, you know, puppets and small sort of things that sort of take you along and are part of that whole journey of Odysseus. It's just really well done. I would say I'm not a Nolan fanboy either, but I do think he has a credible way of doing these things, and that's why he's so accredited, especially since winning an Oscar for Oppenheimer.
Well, it's almost given him the confidence, if he needed it,
yeah,
that his way is a good way of doing it. And he's a proper storyteller, right? And there is something to be admired in, you know, even one of us at home on a Mac could have a good go at creating 10,000 Roman-looking soldiers on a beach. He's actually going to get 10,000 lads in, make them all put a helmet on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's something brilliant about that, I think.
There really is, yeah.
And like shooting on like, I think they shot parts of it in Sicily and things like that. So places were already authentically looking as though they were, you know, in the Isles, and big grinding sort of shoots on water in boats and using film as well, you know, because the first time I saw the IMAX 70mm, which you could say maybe is a bit of a niche thing, but you know, now that's becoming a thing of that those are selling out everywhere across the world. There's not a lot of theaters that can do that, and those sorts of things now are becoming so like filled out with audiences that they want to put more on, they just can't with timing and dates and other films coming out and so on. Lovely film. So I would like watch it again, really.
Well, I'm desperate to see it. Like, I'm trying to book up, but it's a mixture of other people booking it and getting babysitters is proving very tricky to see it. But I'm so keen to. So we should probably let people know, in case anyone does know, they do know, but this is based on Homer's poem, The Odyssey, famous old script, which has, of course, led to 4 million think pieces by academics about whether it's true to the narrative and stuff like that. Which actually, I want to talk about that in a minute, because you cannot have missed this film. The PR push on this film has been unreal. However you receive your news and your information, there's something there for you. So open to Sunday Times, Culture Review. There's a classicist, you know, talking about how it relates to the original text. There's Samantha Morton talking very seriously about the importance of this kind of film and stuff like that. If you go on TikTok, you got, you know, Tom Holland eating hot chicken wings. Like, wherever you go, however you get your news for your phone or your TV or whatever, you cannot miss that this film is happening, right?
Yeah.
It's been an unbelievable push.
And they help each other, though. You know, if this film is such a success. And I, like, switched on the TV the other day and there was Richard E. Grant doing an Odyssey TV program as well.
Yeah.
He's like the very modern Odyssey of just him visiting the Greek Isles and things like that. So they go hand in hand.
Yeah. So, this is Odysseus's journey to try and get back home. It takes him about 20 years or something.
Yeah.
And there is many, many, many monsters, challenges. And it's a bit about the life of man and what it is to be on a journey of life and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I really can't.
And the monsters at home waiting for him too.
Oh.
AKA Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Not a spoiler. He's at the
start. Oh, he's in it as well. Robert Pattinson.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's playing. I don't think it's like a stretch or a criticism to say this. He's playing just like a proper baddie, like a proper you know, swings his cloak everywhere he walks and kind of like constantly smirking and stuff. He's very entertaining.
And who does Samantha Morton play?
I think
Cersei.
And
who's Cersei?
She's like a witch.
Okay. Yeah, that fits. That scans.
yeah. And she's so good in it too. She's
great. Yeah, her scene.
Like 10-minute scene.
I heard on another podcast apparently Tom Cruise went to see The Odyssey. And he sat at the back and all the way through just kept saying, clapping, moving the seat, saying, this is sick. So he apparently absolutely loved it. And yeah, I don't know how we're going to explain this on the radio. It's on your socials, but somebody put it to Matt Damon that The Odyssey was showing at the Odyssey Cinema.
Yes.
And there's a clip of him being told that and reacting to it.
There
Roberto,
is, yes.
Tell us about this. This is amazing.
Yeah, so Sally Williams of ITV News, who's a local St. Albans weather reporter and news interviewer or news news spokesperson. She was on the red carpet in Leicester Square, encountered Matt Damon, and told him to his face that her friend had booked tickets for the Odyssey at the Odyssey in Hertfordshire. And he did react.
He says, so they're watching the Odyssey at
Exactly. Yeah.
See, great minds, yeah.
And there's a video on our Instagram if you want to go find it. It's one of our most viewed videos, like, I don't know, ever, but like, it's got a lot of views, probably because of the Matt Damon effect, but
that was cool.
Staff reacting to it. Yeah, well, yes, you'll go see Nick's in the video. He does a great performance.
Right.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. But yeah, that was it. We were jazzed.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Also, on Matt Damon, interestingly, I read a thing, because, I mean, if anyone has been involved in this film, they've been wheeled out for some sort of PR. Mm. Matt Damon's kind of body/fighting double is a kind of athletic woman who's about 4'6".
Mm-hmm.
And she's got exactly the kind of sinewy, muscly build that Nolan wanted from the back.
All right.
So whenever you see Matt Damon from the back in this film, it's this British woman who's just under 5 foot.
Yeah.
So she's got the exact muscles and stuff Nolan wanted. Nice. And that is the attention to detail we were talking about.
And it's also like to create the force perspective with the Lastragonians, which are these like giant blokes. So you've got like, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that is a really cool.
We've made a joke about that as well, just because we have a standee in the cinema, which is like the giants with Matt Damon to the back, and just like, we wonder, is it Matt Damon actually in the picture, or is it the stunt double?
But yeah, talking about it is actually making me so frustrated, because I'm just so jealous you've seen it. Yeah, no, I will. I really, really want to see it.
It's well worth it.
But yet again, Christopher Nolan is single-handedly raising the economy, saving cinema, well on its way to making $1 billion as we sped. Let's talk a bit about Chris Nolan. So, I mean, it almost feels not strong enough to say he's made some good films. He's kind of changed. Is it too big to say he's changed the face of cinema? He's certainly done something. Please explain this in a better way than I can.
It really depends on where you kind of like look at where he started with it, I suppose. Because obviously, I think mainstream-wise, the Batman films are obviously where he kind of got his start. Well, yeah, came to a mainstream attention, obviously. And, you know, I actually watched Batman Begins like a few weeks ago. And it was funny, the last time I watched it, I was like down on it. I was like, Batman Begins, Dark Knight's better. And like, I think it is, but like rewatching it this time, I was like, okay, no, this is pretty solid. But also very different from like how his later films have played out. It's a lot more, it feels a lot less, his like later films have felt like quite industrial. Even The Odyssey has like kind of an element of like, you're watching like this story of like heavy mechanical parts. Does that make any sense almost? Like there's kind of like the way the narrative plays along is very like grandiose.
I think there's a certain way now that we almost expect Nolan to his films to play out as well, like in the way that the stories are told non-linear, just with like flashbacks and things like that, but also I feel as though I wouldn't necessarily say he's changed the face of cinema. He's made incredible films, but I think it's more or less he's changed the way we look at genre in film a little bit.
Well, like he's almost a genre of his own, weirdly.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. I'm mostly thinking of Tenet, and I'm not the biggest fan of Tenet, to be frank.
It's controversial.
But there's a way that film is made you just got to have an insane mind to go along to it and sort of create something as such. Even with, you know, The Dark Knight and those films, which are massive and, you know, have bigger properties at hand to it, no one has seen a Batman film like it when they were made.
I've got to say, those Batman films he did, it seems kind of mad to pick any holes in them because I really enjoyed them. So fundamentally, a Batman film is there for you to enjoy. So if you do enjoy it, and I really enjoyed it, it's done its job, right?
Yeah.
However, there was a way a certain group of, let's say, kind of middle-aged men, but there's a, there was a certain group of people who talked about those films like they were almost like, you know, Picasso did his thing.
Yeah.
Then Chris Nolan made The Dark Knight. Right, it's they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're still a bit like, Gotham's a disease.
Yeah.
I need to wipe out the like, they're sort of, they're not quite as clever as everyone makes out, I don't think.
I think they're like solid bits of, I think The Dark Knight is like just a solid bit of like,
they're great action movies.
Solid thriller, solid crime drama.
Don't get me wrong, really enjoyed them.
I
guess it's funny, I'm not picking holes in them at all. I really enjoyed them. Watch them quite a lot now, but there's just something about the discourse around those films which kind of implies they're at this slightly touching genius level, which is a bit mad because they're just Batman films, which is really good.
I think Rises kind of almost like was a victim of the success of the second one, because I think that, like the Rises, I actually, when I rewatched Rises a couple of years ago, I enjoyed it quite a lot. And I should say, we are showing The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises at the cinema, just to let you know. 14th of August and
So Dark Knight September. Rises. Bane, Tom Hardy.
He is, yeah.
People of Gotham are pretty easily led in that film.
Yeah.
There's some mad action scenes in that, though.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And the bit where he's running with the American football,
yeah, and the stadium just like caves in.
Yeah, again, brilliant film. But yeah, people of Gotham have got to take a look at themselves.
I think all interpretations, to be fair.
Bane basically, his point is like, I'm going to make it really chaotic so you'll be in charge. And then he kind of kills someone. And the people at Gotham should be like, all right, he's just killed someone, that's out of order. But they're just sort of like, oh yeah, this sounds good, let's go nuts with Bane.
It's slightly tied in also to like recognising that's a trilogy, because then he has other characters from the first one.
Yeah, like Scarecrow.
And meaning to keep the Joker, but that couldn't have happened anyway.
But he's got some mind, isn't he? Because I'm looking at his film list now. Like, and there's a couple of films, and this is an indictment on me, not Chris Nolan.
Mm.
A couple of his films I found pretty tricky to keep up with. Inception, Interstellar. Both genuinely incredible works of art and incredible feats of storytelling. Both crazy complex for mainstream films.
I think, but you say that, I mean, I think it's on Letterboxd where Interstellar's like one of the most watched films ever, like logged.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. Interstellar's funny,
but it's
because
tough to get on with.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, when it first came out, people were like, oh, it's all science babble, blah, blah, blah. And now everyone knows Interstellar is like easily the most emotional Christopher Nolan film. Mm. I wonder what that is about that film. Maybe it was because it's so long and so heavy, it's taken like quite a few years for us to go, hang on, look at the ending of this film. It's like actually beautiful.
I guess when you first come out of watching that film, it's not the first thing or even the third thing you talk about.
Yeah, but now,
like, everyone forgets Matthew McConaughey's in that film, weirdly.
And he's great. He's really good. Just before as well, like, I do want to bring it up. Have you guys seen Memento?
The Guy Pearce one.
I haven't seen that.
I think is probably, maybe it's not quite as good as on rewatch, but like when you first watch Memento, even now, I feel like there's such a like, to it.
And what a clever, do you know the premise of Memento?
Yeah.
So Guy Pearce,
I really want to watch
bits of his life story tattooed on himself to remind himself. It's kind of Christopher Nolan's first big foray into like, things are going to happen at mad times and you've got to keep up with it.
Has anyone seen Insomnia?
I've not seen that actually.
No.
That's great.
That's his second?
Al Pacino and Robin Williams are in that movie.
Is Robin Williams quite mad in it?
Yeah. He's essentially like the villain.
Yeah, I think quote unquote. I've seen that ages ago. But yeah, also
great movies though. What I'm saying, you know, he holds the drama pretty well. I think that is Memento more action-y than drama, or
more kind of like detective-y sort of mystery
noir vibes,
but with such a good gimmick. And as I think you mentioned in his genre, He does. You can't like take away from like the way he kind of takes genre and like twists it to his own whims. But in a good way a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Also, he does that time chopping. You know, when you watch different stories at the same time in his films. So an extreme example would be like Interstellar, Memento, where it's like, sorry, when's this? But then even if you watch something like Dunkirk, which I thought was really well done, you're kind of watching these different stories unfold. Some of them are taking months, some of them are taking days, but you're watching them all unfold. Mm. The way he does time is really clever.
The Prestige does that really well.
That is such a good film. We can give the twist away at this point. Well, let's not.
If you're
a late cover to Chris Nolan films, please watch The Prestige. Christian Bale, before he was Batman.
Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
David Bowie in a small role, but a really great role as well.
Yeah, it is such a good film.
But how they play with, I think a lot, I've always thought with Nolan, a lot of what comes in Interstellar, Dunkirk, time, just the whole playing with time and being able to correspond something in the past with then what becomes something in the future, but then they end up being like a linkage, like an event that he does that conveys that very, very well.
Yeah, you're so right. So something can happen at the start of a film, seemingly innocuous,
and that happens with The Odyssey too.
I mean, he's some guy, and he like, what's he like about, you ever heard him interviewed?
Very British, and he talks a bit like this. Yeah. And
very studied, researched man.
I mean, he's got to be some kind of genius, you know, because imagine if somebody said to you, like, tomorrow I want you to try and come up with a story and work out how you would film something like Interstellar. Like,
I always appreciate a guy who turns up to set on a suit.
Yeah, is that what he does?
Yeah, like, yeah, I feel like you always see him in the suit and he's very professional.
Yeah, that's nice. That is nice. So, Christopher Nolan, we think you've got a good future ahead of you.
Keep
one to keep an eye on. fantastic. Right, chaps, we'll finish that there. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and have a quick look forward to what's going on at the cinema in the coming months or weeks or months. But let's be honest, it's mainly going to involve Matt Damon in a helmet. Right, welcome back to part three of the Podyssey. We're off air, we're just chatting about Dev Patel. So well done, Dev Patel. We think you're a great actor, although that is not for this chat. Also, Roberto pointed out that our chat about Chris Nolan was, ironically and very fittingly, jumped around in time quite a lot and was a bit all over the place, which is what he would have wanted.
So that's exactly.
Homage to the great man. So, chaps, we've just got time to say what's coming up in the next few weeks at the Odyssey. Of course, you know, the main thing is the film, The Odyssey. Anything else particularly looking forward to? I guess a lot of kids' films coming up.
Yeah, we got some family films coming out.
Definitely. I know you want to mention one.
Well, it's less I want to and more I'm beholden to it now almost. I've spent the last month doing a bit of investigating on a certain group of characters you might know as the Minions.
Yeah.
Because we have their new film coming out Friday the 14th of August, if you do want to come and see it. But I had a bit of an epiphany one day. I was writing the August program, like, description for the film. Mm-hmm. I had this slight thing with, you know, they like bananas, except I was kind of having a bit of a thing. It's hard to remember them actually ever eating one, and I kind of decided to investigate, and it led me to some places. And you'll see the fruits of the investigation on the YouTube channel in about a week from when we're recording this. I feel if I don't tell you guys to go and watch Minions, something bad might happen to me. I've heard it's very good. I've heard it's like a genuine love letter to cinema. Like, it's about silent films and kind of classic Hollywood. So it is one for all the ages.
And those Minions, you know, for kids, they are a winner. Kids, all kids love Minions. There's just no deviate from that. All kids think that's the most amazing.
A lot of adults do too.
Yeah.
Perhaps one of the things that scared me on my investigation was the attachment I perhaps grew to these characters unwillingly.
I'm a bit worried about Roberto. He's looking quite.
No, it's okay. I got.
You have to watch the film to find out.
He's kind of staring a little bit off center, and I'm not sure.
Okay. I got out, guys. I got out of it.
We're glad.
In time.
We're glad.
We're gonna have to see. Nick, so Minions coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few more kids ones. I know we have Moana coming out, the live-action remake.
Oh, yeah, let's very quickly talk about this. So, Moana, as we discussed in this podcast, one of the most streamed bits of content, not just films, ever across the globe in history. Even as recently, about 2 years ago, it's still like the most watched thing across all streaming channels. It's not hard to see why they've remade it, shot for shot. But
10 years later,
objectively, why have they remade it shot for shot?
I mean, because like as you've just mentioned, it's a massively watched film, and they want to make the big bucks off it.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Rock's back involved.
The
in
Rock's
a mad
very
wig.
Heavily involved in it. Yeah,
there's a new song from Lin-Manuel Miranda in there, isn't there? Or
yeah,
am
I think so? Yeah,
am I
yeah.
wrong with that? Yeah, I'm
yeah.
sure.
And that was it. You know, the song sold it when it came out originally, and it was a different take on. I don't know if you really count it as Disney Princess, but still.
Original's great. Songs are great. Story's great. Original's fantastic.
We'll have to wait and see for judgment on this new
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And I'm sure we'll come and see it as a family. Also, we can't complain too much, but I think we're allowed to say this is a cynical money-making exercise, but that's okay because yeah. films do need to make money and people need to go to cinemas. And this exactly. will make money. People will go to the cinema.
Yeah, it's made money.
But it's not necessarily the piece of artistic endeavour we all need in our lives, but it's going to be fun, I think.
Well, on the flip side of that, we have Blade Runner.
Oh. I was literally just thinking of Blade Runner, weirdly.
At the end of August.
What, the original?
Yes, yeah. Oh,
the final cut.
Wow. 29th Harrison Ford.
August.
And we've got a few other Disney classics, like Blade Runner. No. Dirty Dancing's coming up as well.
I love Dirty Dancing. Both seen Dirty Dancing?
I have seen Dirty Dancing, actually.
Thoughts on Dirty Dancing?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I've seen it a few times, but I wouldn't say it's like really in tune with what I usually watch.
Yeah,
but I enjoy it.
I've got that thing with it where I'm so fond of it from young that like I can't objectively see it now. So I was really worried that you might have said, oh, I hate it.
No.
I love that film.
I think those actors, that duo of Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze is kind of like ageless a bit, inimitable. Like there is a just kind of certain, you know, charisma and bravado they have with each other that just kind of transcends time. You know, I think people keep watching it just for them.
Film.
Overall, I enjoy coming of age films.
Yeah, me too.
So, and I enjoy that whole suburban Catskills. You know, I'm a rebel dad sort of feeling. You know,
yeah. Oh, very nice. Actually, that might be a little date night number for me, that Dirty Dancing. Yeah. Very exciting. Loads of good stuff coming up, but the main thing is the Odyssey. Don't panic if you try and have a look at the Odyssey and it's nearly sold out on the night you want to go, because there is a lot of
shows.
You won't miss it.
Definitely.
Absolutely
definitely.
Not. It'll probably be back in September too.
Yeah. All right, chaps. Well, and also, speaking of Chris Nolan, you've got the
Dark Knight.
You've got the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah. So we've got a Dark Knight in August and Dark Knight Rises in September. Please don't ask me why we don't have the Batman Begins, but we do have the two.
Couldn't fit in.
Dark Knight ones.
Yeah
exactly,
enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've tricked you into that, because I feel like we should now say goodbye in the style of Christian Bale's Batman.
You know what? I, when I was watching Batman Begins, I was catching some of the lines like on time, so I feel confident about this.
Okay.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have said
okay.
that.
Okay, well, yeah, right, Roberto's
okay.
first.
Okay. I'll do because, okay, right, hold on. okay, no, let's just go in. You gotta watch, you gotta listen to the policy. I messed it up. Listen to the policy.
Mitchell!
There you go.
It must hurt it. Christian Bale's voice.
Sorry.
Very good, Nick. Let's have you, please.
Oh, no.
Tough one to follow.
Yeah, it really is, actually. Oh, I was about to do like movie phone guy. Do you know what I mean? Like the announcement of the trailer guy from the 2000s.
Thank you for listening to the policy.
That's what I've got.
It's good. That was a bit Lego Batman at the end.
I was sort of thinking about that.
Batman is the best voice.
He is great. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the policy. It might not be the podcast Gotham wants, but it's the podcast Gotham needs.
Awesome.
Anyway, on that awesome. Horrendous note, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Oh, keep an eye out. We've got another sister podcast, same feed, don't worry about it. But we're going to be talking about the Odyssey Film Club as well. So fortnightly podcasts from now. You're welcome. See you later. Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here at the Podyssey, you can email me at neil.rodger@mix926.com. With your thoughts on the show, your views on the films we've talked about, and if you're feeling brave, you could do our next intro or set our next final challenge. You can find out all about what's on at the Odyssey or what's going on with Mix 92.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials, where they can both be found.